Okay. So yesterday we started discussing the nature of the prohibition of lifnei iver, of isurin specifically. We noted that in the way the Achronim formulate it in general, there's two main possibilities. Either lifnei iver is what they call an isur kolel. It's a generic prohibition, general prohibition, meaning the prohibition is to enable, or in American legal jargon, to aid and abet in the performance of an avera. But it doesn't really matter what avera it is. It's an equivalent prohibition. So in Israel Kolel, right, it doesn't take on the character. Lifnei Iver doesn't take on the character of the sin that you are enabling. What? Yeah, exactly. Mitad sheni, others say no, it's nisur prati, it's specific, it's a subsection, so to speak, of every isur in the Torah, and it takes on the character of the other mitzvah, of the avera being violated. We noted that the former model works well with the level of lifnei iver, which is bad advice, right? Because then you can explain both the lifnei iver of bad advice and lifnei iver of sin similarly. I mean, the prohibition is to put a michshal, is to put a stumbling block. If you think that lifnei iver takes the identity of the sin, it's much harder. I mean, it seems to be more distinct. Well,
right, because if it's for the iser, it's more of a chance you're also punished for the iser as well as...
Correct, but right, you can't really say that for the bad advice one, because there isn't really an iser you're partaking of, and that would draw a wedge between the two levels of the iser. So yesterday we started looking at some nafkaminas. The first one that we raised is a machlokes balmor Ramban, which we saw the quick version of it in the Ritva, which is if one enables somebody to violate one of the big three, what?
The Ramban arguing with Balmor.
Yes, the Ritva holds a Ramban, which is Rebbe's Rebbe. Right, the Ritva is on the same side as the Ramban.
Oh, okay, so the Ritva was just bringing down the Machlokas.
He actually doesn't bring down the Machlokas, he only goes like the Ramban. I give you the footnote to cheat, give you the Balmor. Where the Ritva, the Ramban, say it is an Isser Kolel, he actually uses those words. It's a generic prohibition, it doesn't take on the identity of Yargvel Yavor, of a dessert, therefore it's not Yargvel Yavor. The Balmor disagrees. A second one now that we haven't seen, which is similar, is the following. Did you do three? Roman numeral three?
Did we do what?
Roman numeral three.
Yeah.
Roman numeral three.
Okay. So Roman numeral three.
Yes.
Fine.
No, we didn't really do it.
Okay, so we'll do it now.
We didn't do the Ron, the riff. You can read it inside.
Okay, so let's go through it. So the next question we'll deal with is the question of a Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hestia. In general, in Shas, Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hestia is a public Shabbos violator, is at the lower end of the totem pole of religious life. We treat him like a goy for many halakhic purposes. He's kovid avod zara. It's bad.
What's considered in public? I need to figure out if I can go through.
So Bizman Hazeh, right, whether this halacha still, Bikitsur, most poskim nowadays don't apply it, because Rashi says that the reason that a Mechal Shabbos Verhesya is considered a mumar is because a Mechal Shabbos Verhesya is likely, or that's likely evidence of the fact that he's kofir b'masa b'reishis, that he denies God, he denies creation, he denies everything. Starting in the 19th century, as there were different denominations, so then poskim started saying, starting I mentioned this already, I think last week, starting with Yaakov Ettlinger, in Chuvas Binyan Tzion, in Chuvas Chadash, in Chuvas Chav Gimel, and many of the German poskim after him, Lamed Lahoel, Rav Tzvi Hoffman, in Aleph Chavtes, in Lamed Lahoel, Amar Shag is a chuv on this, where he's actually writing to America. They write that Bizman Hazeh, it's not true, because many people, they don't keep Shabbos in the way we understand Shabbos for whatever reason. They're part of a different denomination. They don't understand Shabbos the same way. It doesn't prove anything about their fundamental beliefs. And therefore, they're not. They don't get the status, and instead we treat them as a tinuk shenishba, which is the equivalent of a shogeg, right? An accidental sinner. The Chazon Ish has a different formulation, that when God's hashgacha isn't evident in the world in a sort of visceral way, so we can't really hold people responsible for their sins, so we don't treat them as a mazid. So nowadays, how this status actually plays out is more complicated, but in the time of the Gemara, okay? So don't draw anything from what I just said. But theoretically, if someone has a says in Chalal Shabbos for Hesya, so again, he takes the status of a non-Jew for certain halachot. So what happens if you are a, right, you violate Lifnei Iver or Chilul Shabbos? You violate Lifnei Iver or Chilul Shabbos. So that's clearly a bad thing. But does the machshil, does the one who enabled, who aided and abetted, does he also take on the status of a mumur l'chal Shabbos?
Right.
So the background to this, which I gave you here, and I decided not to give you, I originally had the Gemara here, but I figured you'd have to go to too many sugyas to figure out what was going on, so I just shortcut it for you. But the first Mishnah in Shabbos had a series of cases in which you violate carrying. So there's two ways to violate carrying on Shabbos. One is Havara Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim, right, which is carrying four Amos in a public domain, right? And the second is Havara Mirshus HaYachal B'Shus HaRabim, or vice versa, right? Is transferring not within a public domain, but between domains. Yes?
What do you mean by that?
Because within the city, usually you have...
Right, there's two ways, right? Meaning, if you're within a public domain and you carry four amos, so whatever that is, 6 feet, 8 feet, so then you violate Shabbos. If you are in a private domain, you're in a house, and you walk out of your house carrying into a public domain, so even if you don't walk four amos, right, simply the transference of Rishus, right, simply crossing that threshold from private to public or public to private while carrying is a violation of Havara on Shabbos. But those are the two ways you can violate the Yisr of carrying on Shabbos, right? Right, carrying is one of 39 malachos, right? This is... Yes?
Yeah.
Yes, we're good on this?
No, I didn't understand the first one. What do you mean by the second one?
Which one? Rishus?
No, after he said he's not allowed to do, to bring stuff in the public domain if it's like 5 or 7 foot.
Right, or and you can't transfer from a private to a public or public to a private. Right, if you're in your house and you border a public domain, so you can't, right, even if it's less than the 6 feet, right, you can't cross that threshold, right, while carrying. Right, threshold being the doorway.
In your home, you mean?
No, from your home outside and outside to inside. So the first Mishnah on Shabbos discusses all types of cases. Now the halacha is you're only liable for carrying on Shabbos if there is... an akira and a hanacha, which is a formal act of picking up and a formal act of putting down. So the Mishnah has all types of cases where you have two people involved in carrying. Are you going to be liable? Okay.
Well, you're
yes.
Not picking up. Or
right. So, for example, you have. So the Mishnah has all these cases. If you have one person standing inside, but the Gemara is. The Mishnah's example is a rich person inside and a poor person begging at the door, right? So now, there are all types of ways that you get the money from inside, outside, right? You could have the poor person stick his hand in the door, right? Put his hand in the rich person's hand, right? Outstretched arm with the money, pick it up and take it outside. So that would be a case where...
Carrying?
Because the poor person picked up in one rishus and put it down in the other rishus, right? On the other hand... The ani could put his hand in the door, and the rich person could drop the money in his hand, in which case nobody's chayev on a biblical level because the rich person did the akira, right? He was the one who picked up the item, and the poor person did the hanacha. So they each only did one of them, right? So they won't be liable. So the Gemara says, well, in any of those cases where, let's say, the poor person picks up from the rich person in the house, so he did the whole thing, the poor person is liable for everything, and the rich person is pater, right? The rich person is exempt. He did nothing. Got it? So the Ron asks the question, and he says, what are you talking about? Let's say it's true, right? Let's say it's true. The poor person did all the carrying. But how can you say the rich person did nothing? He did lifnei iver, right? The poor person could not have carried. The rich person had not enabled him to, had given him the item. It's right. It's classic lifnei iver, right? Classic lifnei iver. So how can you say he did nothing? So the Ron asked this question. Tosfos also does, but let's look at the Ron. The Ron says as follows. Who wants to read the Ron? Yosef, read the Ron.
Is that still on this page? Or
yeah, it's the last thing on the page.
Umikshu.
Right. Umakshu. Whatever.
Umakshu
ha'chamin. So, Umakshu ha'chamin.
Nikam Mutar.
What is
it? Oh, what does it mean? Okay. And we have a question.
Hawataka?
That is
now. Here.
Hafa Haicha. Here she.
Heyach. Heyach is how. Don't damage. Don't damage property. Come on. What?
Here how. Mutar lechit chala.
Lechatchila.
It's mutar.
How is it permitted? Right. Remember, heyach. Heyach mutar lechatchila.
Oh, we have a question here. How is it? How are you mutar lechatchila?
What does that mean?
To. I always use the word, but I don't know what it meant.
So what does it mean?
I just say lechatchila.
What does it mean?
In context, of course.
No. I mean, technically it means ab initio, but that's not going to help you, right? Lechatchila is more helpful than ab initio. But no, lechatchila means, literally it means initially. Right? Meaning, this is what you should do. B'diavad means, and it's not technically b'diavad, it's b'diavad, right? If it's already done, it's okay. Lechatchila is what you should do, right? Meaning if you're faced with a situation, this is what you should do. B'diavad means if it's already done, it's sufficient, right? B'diavad, it has already been done, right? So he says, how can you say it's mutar lechatchila? Meaning how can you say that the rich person's allowed to do what he's doing? It's not true. Ve'ha'ika.
Ve'ha'ika. Mashum ve'ver.
Ve'ha'ika, there is mishum lifnei iver lo titen mechshol. Right, he violates.
If there is mashum lifnei iver lo titen mechshol.
A question mark, right? That's the question mark. He says, how can you say that it's permitted? At least the rich person violated lifnei iver.
Okay.
So then
why would he violate if he's giving
the... It's Shabbos, and he's enabling the guy to carry his donation out the door. So then he says, well, maybe it's not Trey Avra Nahara, right? Maybe it's not technically, right, that the poor person can go without him. So he says, that won't help you, that it'll only lower it from a Daraisa to a Darabanan, which we'll come back to. Right, we're going to come back to, but look after the ellipsis. Right, so he quotes one answer from Dosos. So you know, just go to the bolded part. Skip to the bolded part. It's the top of the next page.
Okay.
He quotes Tosos' answer. We'll leave it for now. Let's look at the Ron's answer.
Is
it Mihu? However.
Mihu, however, Iker, Kishi, Koshi, Lita.
Iker Kushia.
Kushia, it's a. We all say what Iker is, but I never... It's the thing. It's the main thing.
Yeah, right. Iker Kushya. The main question, right? The core of the question.
The core of the question.
Lessa. What is Lessa? Lessa or Letta? What does it mean? It's not. I mean, there is no question. Dafilu bitrovayu Yisraelim. Even if they're both Jews... Mitukma matnisen, we can establish the Mishnah. The chi amrin b'gemara the high pater pateru muteru. When we say he's exempt, meaning exempt and it's permitted, right? Keywords. He says. He says that's from what's mitzad ishur isur shabbat kamrinan.
Found
mitzad. What's sad?
From the side.
Side. From the side.
From the side.
I mean, from the perspective of.
Easter, Easter on Shabbat.
Right. I mean, that's from a Shabbos perspective. Below Daikinan be Easter de Lifnei Iver. Right? But not. We're not talking about the prohibition of Lifnei Iver. Meaning, the Ron says, you're right. When we say it's permitted, we mean from the vantage point of Shabbos is perfectly permitted. But not from Lifnei Iver. Just because it says he's allowed to do it doesn't mean he's really allowed to do it. It means from he didn't violate Shabbos. So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger then says, what do you mean? I don't get the run. How can the Gemara say it's mutter for the guy, for the rich person on the inside to enable the guy to violate? If what you mean is it's usser, why do you say it's mutter? Don't play games with me and say it's mutter from the vantage point of Shabbos, but it's really usser from the vantage point of Lifnei Iver. What does that even mean? So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, and this comes back to our question, he says, no, there's a difference because he said, what does it mean? What does the Ron mean? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says what he means is that Lifnei Iver is not a
general statement.
No, it is a general statement. It's not a Shabbos violation. Right? L'may nafkamina. No, it's a Lifnei Iver. Right? The Balabai, the rich guy inside, violated. He didn't violate Shabbos. He violated Lifnei Iver. L'may nafkamina.
So
he said, what's the difference? I already gave it away. What is the difference?
Yeah.
He's not a mumar.
He's not violating Shabbos.
What we just said. Right? That he's not someone who's a machal Shabbos. Someone who violates Shabbos takes on the status of a non-Jew for many purposes.
Right.
Even though he enabled someone to violate Shabbos, and that was terrible, he didn't violate a Shabbos violation. Right? It's like the Ritva.
But he did the Lifnei.
Correct. Which is a bad thing. But it's not a Shabbos violation. And therefore, he's not a mumar. Therefore, the wine he touches isn't not kosher. A machal Shabbos befarhestia. If they touch your wine, just like a guy touches your wine, it's not kosher.
So
yes.
Well, so what do you mean that if he touches wine, is yes kosher?
He is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Correct. But what is Rabbi Akiva Eiger telling you? That if you agree with Yosef, right? If you agree with Yosef, like the Balamor, that it's an Isser Prati, right? That it's a local Isser. So then Mumar would partake of it. And therefore, if someone enabled someone else to violate Shabbos, his wine would be treif.
You said the local. What do you mean by local?
Meaning that it takes on the character of the sin being violated.
Yeah.
So if you hold that Lifnei Iver takes on the character of the sin being violated, meaning that violating Lifnei Iver by enabling someone to violate Shabbat isn't just a general problem. It's as if you yourself violated Shabbos, then by helping someone else violate Shabbos, you become a Machal Shabbos Beferes, yeah?
Two different opinions. Yes,
that's what I said. I said this year is a Chakira Nafkamina year, meaning we have a central question, and we're analyzing how each one fits into both sides, yes. I'm not. There's not like a surprise. There are no surprises
here.
No. Yeah.
No stating.
Okay. That's a second Nafkamina. Now the third nafkamina we already discussed yesterday was what happens if the person doesn't end up violating, right? Again, a machlokas achronim. Rav Asher Weiss doesn't love this, right? He tries to have a middle position, but he notes, I gave you just his summary, right? That he says the Pnei Yeshua in his tshuvot and the Chazon Ish. The Pnei Yeshua says that you don't violate, and the Chazon Ish says you don't violate. The Yad Malachi and the Achiezer say you do violate. Which again seems to come down to this question: if you think the Lifnei Iver is partaking of the prohibition, so the prohibition actually has to happen. If you think that Lifnei Iver is a problem simply because you're setting up a problematic situation, meaning you're putting a michshol there, even if, but you're not partaking of it, so then you violate from the first moment. Now the Rishonim and the Achronim really do know that there are two different implications in the Gemara, different places. The Gemara in Moed Katan implies, at least at first glance, that you do violate it, because the Gemara there says that if a father hits his adult child, so he violates Lifnei Iver, because his son may then come and hit him back. Right, the implication of the Gemara is you violate Lifnei Iver from when you hit your child. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells a story of a father who wanted to test his son's anger management skills. So he took an expensive piece of clothing that the son could have inherited, and he tore it up in front of him to see whether he would get angry. And the Gemara says, how could he do that? He'll violate Lifnei Iver if he gets angry. So he says, no, I was mochel him in advance. But that makes it sound... What? Yeah, well, whatever. But it sounds like, from that Gemara, that you only violate Lifnei Iver if the guy actually sins.
Right.
Right? Because he set up the michshel, the guy's going to get angry. It's just that he said, well, I'll forgive the anger, I'll forgive the sin.
Oh, which is...
Right?
Saying, yeah.
So the Rishonim, so the Achronim really do know that there are Gemaras you have to deal with. Rav Asher Weiss tries to split the difference and say, it depends. If it's an Isser Muchachat, meaning, Achshal Muchachat, meaning you know you're causing the guy to violate the sin, so then you violate from the first moment. But if it's a suffix, right, if it's doubtful whether he's going to sin, so then you don't violate at the first moment, you only violate when he actually violated. Right? He tries to split the difference, but fine. Another one. Ostensibly, you could have said this one, right? If the michshol is not, machshel is not obligated, right? If the person who's causing the sin is not obligated in the sin in question, so what would you say, right? Should you or should you not violate? Again, let's start conceptually and then we'll get to text, right? What do you think?
For what?
Right? What would it depend on, right? Can someone violate Lifnei Iver if the prohibition in question is usher for the sinner, but not usher for the machshil, not usher for the aider and abettor?
Yes.
Why? What does it depend on? This is not a trick question. What does it depend on?
Over one more time.
Right, if there's an avera that only Shimon is obligated in, but not me, if I cause Shimon to sin, do I violate Lifnei Iver? What does that depend on?
So you mean,
and what does it depend on?
In other words, mean like
you hold that.
Like the Nazir.
Well, hold the Nazir thing. Hold it. First, tell me conceptually, and then we'll come to the problem with even asking this question. Yes? Conceptually, what does it depend on? What? Spell that out.
It would depend on if you hold the Lifnei Iver standalone, or if Lifnei Iver comes with the Isser.
Exactly, right? If you think bid you, correct, right? For example, right? Let's leave the Nazir for a second. If someone's a Kohen, sure. Or I enable a Kohen to marry a Grusha, right? A divorced woman, right? So a Kohen can't marry a divorced woman, a non-Kohen can. So what are you going to say? If you say that Lifnei Iver is a general prohibition, don't make people sin.
Then
I violated an Isser. I enabled him to sin.
Exactly.
But if you say that Lifnei Iver means I partake of the sin, so what are you going to say? That I enabled a Kohen to marry a Grusha, so it's as if I married a Grusha.
Right.
So what?
Yeah.
I'm allowed to marry a Grusha. I'm a non-Kohen.
Right.
So you're not over the favor.
Correct.
According to that?
The problem is, now let's get to the text problem. The text problem is what? Then he knows, which is?
What?
The text problem. That was the Svara issue. What's the text problem?
It's the...
Yeah, the Gemara. The Gemara. Right, small little problem.
Is that a problem, though, or is that...
Oh, it's like, a massive problem.
It's like, that's clearly... Gemara must clearly hold on one side.
Well, that's what I would have said, right? That's where Rav Asher Weiss raised it. He says, the Achronim ask, based on the fundamental shaila that everyone asks, is Lifnei Iver Isser Kol Isser Prati? They ask, can you violate an Isser of Lifnei Iver if...
So the Gemara clearly holds.
Exactly. And they say... And he says, Pashtus is the Gemara takes a side in this question because the classic case is a Nazir, and a Nazir can't drink wine, but...
But the guy giving him the wine...
But the guy giving him the wine can. Right? So how does the... So now, so the Emunat Shmuel, I gave you in three, is the one everyone quotes who brings this, and he says, Yesh lahakel, nach da achshav nimochro nosod lagoy lisa leshum isra evam enachai al achkak shetamos o yinchor nas yasanipol, etc. So he says, it's not true, you don't violate. But you don't violate. So then he says, I nazir. Right, look at the second line. Right, so now there's a textual problem, obviously, which you all intuited, which is, it's very nice conceptually, it's very smooth conceptually, except it seems to go against Gemara Mefureshet, and it's, in general, what?
Achronim?
Yes, and in general, if you have a Machlokas Achronim versus Gemara, we paskin like the Gemara, in general, right, you know, as things go.
Which it would seem as though, based on what you said about what we do now, we paskin like the Ritva, which is like the Gemara, which means we do paskin.
Oh, exactly, right, you know, it's always like these unfair ones, it's like, you know, there are some of these weird midrashim where it's like, there was a machlokes between God and whoever. Now, usually, the answer to that question is, who wins in God versus anybody? Postures is God. Usually, it's God. Fine. But he says, V'efshar, so then he tries to answer it, and he says, well, it's not really true that if Shimon is a Nazir and I'm not, that I'm not obligated. Why? Because you could tweak it. You could say, look, it's true that I'm not a Nazir right now, but I could be a Nazir, and therefore the prohibition of a Nazir drinking wine still somewhat applies to me. The truth is that it's very hard. The truth is that the simple answer is it's not true.
It's speculation.
Not speculation. It's
no, because you say maybe I'm going to be.
No, I didn't say maybe you're going to be. I said you could, yeah. And therefore, at a fundamental level, you are in the parsha. You could, right? I'm not saying you will be, but I'm saying the Torah of a Nazir applies to you just as much as it is to Shimon, because you could be a Nazir, and if you were a Nazir, you wouldn't be able to drink wine.
Yeah.
Now, it's not neat. It's very messy conceptually,
right.
And that's why the simple answer in the Gemara is that. That Nachum is right, that it's an Isser Klali,
right.
And therefore it you aren't partaking of the Isser, and therefore it's equally Usser whether or not you are, right? You're violating. That's what the Gemara teaches you through the Nazir case. Yeah, that's the simple answer.
Okay.
But the fact is that many Achronim disagree with what I just said,
okay.
Right? Like the Emunah Shmuel says, I know it's a hard read in the Gemara, but Shine, it's a hard read in the Gemara, big deal.
That's it?
What?
That's it?
What do you mean that's it?
Why do you keep doing that, man? Like, every single time someone says anything and gives you an answer, you make it sound like it was so easy.
No, I mean,
say the answer if it was so easy.
No, I get it, but basically, I'm talking like the whole Gemara makes the whole thing, and that's the answer. I mean, like,
that's the conceptual part. We're walking through the steps. We want to understand how they got from point A to point B. There must have been things that went on in the middle.
I thought that answer would be more complicated.
That's exactly how it works. If you don't, okay.
No, if you set it up right,
if
you set it up.
I disagree with you, and then we just part ways.
Yeah.
Then we never understand. We never understand, and then there's nothing that comes out of that. What we're doing in this shir is figuring out.
I know
what the disagreement is. How they get from point A to point B. Obviously, by figuring out how they get from point A to point B, that's going to make a simple disagreement way more complicated. By definition, understanding what's going on makes things more complicated.
Okay, here's another one. And this is a fun one in the Achronim. Let's say that Reuven wants Shimon, not a general Shimon, but this Shimon, right? Wants Shimon. He doesn't want to enable Shimon to eat treif. Achmona letzlan. He wants to enable Shimon to violate an Isser Derabbanan. An Isser Derabbanan. He wants Shimon to have a milk and meat that aren't cooked together. I don't know. Right? Because it's only biblically observed it's cooked together. Right? He wants you to eat, I don't know. He wants you to eat milk, which is milked by a non-Jew without a Jew watching it, right? Non-Chalav Yisrael milk, right? He wants you to eat whatever he wants you to eat, right? He wants you to eat something else from the Rabbanan.
Wait, Ilim Chalav Stam is an Asr
Derabbanan. Chicken immediately.
Did I say Chalav Stam?
No.
I said Chalav Yisrael. The Gemara says you have to have Chalav Yisrael. Ramosha's Chiddush is that our milk is Chalav Yisrael. There is no such thing as Chalav Stam.
Any milk with a hechsher on it.
No.
Just milk in general.
Yeah. You don't need a hechsher in milk in America.
But it's called. But it's not watched by a Jew.
Of course it is. That's Ramosha's Chiddush. It's watched by the government, which is equivalent. You don't need a hechsher on it.
The government's not Jewish.
Oh my God.
Also, according to the government,
and we're not going to get Jermosh. And
literally, you're allowed to have 2% pig milk, and
no,
it should be considered
incorrect. That's not true. It needs to be 100% cow milk. That's incorrect. It's not true. It's a myth. It is a false myth. You're not allowed to put any, in fact. It has to be 100% cow milk.
Some people, they say under a certain percentage as well. Like, you can't just read ingredients on things because
right.
There's a certain percentage that they're allowed to put in.
Yes, that's not true.
That's not true. They have to tell you about everything.
They do.
Right, okay, fine.
They do have to tell you about everything, and especially in the age of allergens, they really do have to tell you about everything.
Sure, they have to take out OUDE because of that, allergens. That's why they stopped the DE. Sucks.
Or that's not why they stopped DE. They stopped DE because it was too complicated to explain to you what DE meant. But there have been some very weird halachic issues
and they
because of this.
Suits of it with an allergens?
Yeah, they got rid of it a long time ago. There was other things that were happening with the OK. It was like a whole disaster with the Trader Joe's chocolate chips. Yeah, they're Parif. Just Rosh Hashanah, they're Parif. I know they say D on them, but they're not dairy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I was doing. Oreos, too. Oreos for dessert.
Oreos are Parif.
Yes. Ray Willig, after the OK, started putting OKD.
I'm not going to poskin for whatever you guys
look, have. I'm not going to
Oreos are probably much richer in whatever chocolate they're made with. So I'm
just
going to say, Belgian Oreos might be.
I'm just going to say, I'm not going to poskin for you. I'm just going to tell you that after Trader Joe's chocolate chips got a D on it, Ray Willig said, I would coat my steak with it and eat it. Mordechai Willig.
Wait, so...
And why you?
Why does my dad tell me that Hershey's are not Claude Bichrel?
What?
Why does my dad tell me that Hershey's chocolate bars are not Claude Bichrel?
Because people use the phrase Claude Bichrel wrong. That's why.
But that's only according to Jerry Moshe Feinstein.
Yes.
So if you don't hold Edgar Moshe Feinstein, then...
If you don't hold Edgar Moshe Feinstein, correct. But this is a discussion for a time.
You're just trying to support a company that you own. Pride of the farm. The story behind that's amazing.
Anyways.
They didn't have milk, so they went to the Rosh Hashiva. One of the students went to the Rosh Hashiva. He was Rabbi Yosef Temple. He goes to the Rosh Hashiva. He says, Rabbi, we don't have any Claude Bichrel mugs. Like, where the Rosh Hashiva is starting, right? Rabbi, we don't have any Claude Bichrel mugs. He's like, okay, get a cow. And they did. And from there, they created a company called Pride of the Farm.
There you go. Baruch Hashem. Maybe at some point this year we'll talk about Ramosha's Chiddush, exactly how Ramosha got to it. But those sugyas are in the Lamids, right? We're not quite there yet. Maybe Shmuel David will do it in his Ramosha shir. When do you give your Ramosha shir? Maybe Shmuel David will talk about Chol Yisrael. Since we're doing about dessert anyways, maybe we'll discuss Ramosha's Kaddish. I don't know. At some point. Well, it's not Chol Stam. It's Chol Yisrael. That's Ramosha's Chol Kiddush. It is Chol Yisrael. He says Chol Yisrael. He does what he says. And it's not Stam. It's companies. Chol of companies. Chol of our companies. He never says Chol of Stam. It's just it's too annoying to say Chol of our companies.
Well, but I can see why OU is considered Chol Yisrael, because how else are they going to put an OU on it if they don't know how it's made? I'm saying, like, they don't have someone watching it. I'm saying, but like something with an OU on it, there has to be a rabbi there to see what's going on in order to put an OU on the product.
Okay.
So therefore, it is called the truck.
No.
I mean no.
What do I mean by no? I mean no. There is not necessarily mashgiach there.
So how do they call it OU?
It's everything kosher.
Because mashgiachim do not stay there 24/7 in most of these things.
They're baby now.
Yeah, no, I did mashgiach work with my dad once, and basically when we were like making a plan, it was like we would tell them, by the way, yeah, we're just going out, just stepping out for a few minutes, and then like
leave for like 3 months.
Then leave for 3 months.
Yeah. Anyways, so but that's a discussion for another time. So here's the shot of the Acharim ask. Okay, let's say that someone is machshil somebody in an Isser Derabanan. Okay? Do they violate Lifnei Iver or Raisa?
Yes. Well, depends how you hold.
What does it depend on?
Well, if you
depends
hold
on. Like, well, oh, no, wait. Actually,
depends if you're so obligated.
A little bit
yeah.
If you're obligated for the mitzvah.
So if you say Lifnei Iver is like two things, Lifnei Iver and whatever they did. So then you're dying for Deraisa with Lifnei Iver. Whatever they did. Just say it's one thing, it's just Lifnei Iver.
Right. So this is what we noted yesterday, right? That you can say both levels exist. But yes, if you think...
Doesn't everyone agree that Lifnei Iver...
Not necessarily, because we said that Lifnei Iver on Isurin might be distinct from the third level. Right?
So
if you think that Lifnei Iver Isurin is only partaking of the Isur, it's an Isur Prati, so then... At best, you could violate Lifnei Iver Dirabanan,
right. Because
you're enabling someone to violate a Dirabanan.
Right.
So you're partaking, so to speak, of their Isser, and their Isser is only us on a rabbinic level.
I thought the whole thing was Lifnei Iver, like, I thought we all agree that you're over Lifnei Iver, but whether you're over the mitzvah, the Avera that was done or not. That's
no, but here's the problem. Is if you're making someone violate an Isser Dirabanan,
right.
So if you're partaking of the Isser, the level of your Lifnei Iver can only be also Dirabanan. Yeah, but if you think the nature of Lifnei Iver is that it's Usser because it partakes of the Isser the person does, and the Isser the person did was only itself rabbinic, then the level of your lifnei iver violation can also only be rabbinic.
No, because if you're,
no, yes.
I'm saying, but like, if you're over lifnei iver in that,
if again, if you think that lifnei iver exclusively means that when it comes to prohibitions,
right,
I violate lifnei iver because it's as if I partook of the violation that was violated,
right,
exclusively,
right,
then by violating lifnei iver, by enabling someone else to violate a rabbinic law, right, I at best violated a rabbinic law.
No, because you're also over lifnei iver.
I said exclusively. Exclusive,
know,
meaning only.
If you can't say,
welcome back, bro.
If you think that lifnei iver only, when it comes to prohibitions, only,
right,
only, not two levels, not
right,
something else.
Yes.
Only means that it's usher because I partake of the isser that is being performed by the person that I ensnare, that person that I enabled.
Right.
Then if he only violates a rabbinic law,
right,
I at best can only violate a rabbinic law.
But bam.
Right? If you think the lifnei iver is standalone, or also standalone, however you want to formulate it, so then even though I made him violate only rabbinic law, I violate biblical lifnei iver, or as the Acharonim put it, d'oraisa, as the Acharonim say, why? Lo garami etzara'a.
So by
if I gave you bad advice, I violate a biblical isser. So why, if I cause you to violate a rabbinic prohibition,
so the first,
did I not?
So according to that, lifnei iver is not a d'oraisa law.
No, it
according
isn't.
According to the first one, you're
the
not.
The very first time according to the, it, what is
d'oraisa? You said he's only five d'oraisa.
No, the d'oraisa case is if I cause someone to violate a biblical prohibition.
But, and how come your Ruby Kushan's only rabbinical?
No. If I cause someone to violate a rabbinic law, then my lifnei iver is only rabbinic.
Right.
So that's if like I, that lifnei iver is not a d'oraisa law at all.
No.
That's
it's saying,
what it is saying.
No, it's not.
If you're over lifnei iver, it doesn't matter whether it's a derabbanan or not, you're over a derabbanan law.
No. If you think that lifnei iver, if the nature of lifnei iver is that,
right,
when it comes to isurin, it's usur for me to enable someone else to sin, because if he sins, then I partake of his sin.
Right.
So then, if the sin that I make him do is biblical,
right,
then my lifnei iver is biblical because I partook of his biblical violation. But if the sin I made him do is rabbinic,
right,
then I only partake of his rabbinic law.
What's all the rabbinic law?
What?
How can you say lifnei iver is a deraisa and a derabbanan at the same time?
Why not?
Depends on how you look at it.
What do you mean? If it says it in the Torah, then it's a deraisa law.
I don't understand the problem.
You're saying that
why not?
You're only chayv lifnei iver.
If I light a fire on Shabbos, I violate Shabbos biblically.
Right.
Okay. If I cook food on Shabbos, I violate it biblically.
Right.
If I warm up food in the wrong way, right, without getting into details of that, I violate cooking rabbinically. There's called d'oraisa levels of violating bishul on Shabbos and rabbinic levels violating on Shabbos.
But it's, so you can violate,
that's called bishul on Shabbos,
so
right?
D'rabbanan. Rabbis call cooking is that,
and that's d'rabbanan.
Right.
There is biblical cooking and there is rabbinic cooking.
Right.
There is biblical lifnei iver and there's rabbinic lifnei iver. What's wrong with that?
So you can't violate biblical behavior unless the usur done is biblical.
If you think that the nature of lifnei iver is that it's usur because I partake of the isur that you violated, then yes.
Meaning what I agree with that you take.
Correct. Like you would have to say.
I find it inviolable for lifnei iver and the punishment that the person that you.
Correct. Meaning if I'm punished for causing someone to sin because as if I did that sin, then if the sin that I made the person do is only rabbinic, then at best, what I did was rabbinic.
Wait,
right?
When a rabbi makes a...
But what do you mean by a rabbinic law?
When he makes a law, does that mean he holds what you're doing is an isser d'oraisa, or that's what...
It depends. If they're interpreting d'oraisa, then it's biblical. If they're being metakein, if they're decreeing something, then it's rabbinic. It depends. Right?
With the cooking case, are they saying you're over d'oraisa based off what
it depends.
Like,
if they say that When a rabbi, when the rabbis say that fire, for the purposes of the araisa, isn't just fire, but it's also a red hot coal or a burning hot piece of metal, so they're interpreting the araisa and saying if you cook, you violate biblically.
Right.
When they say you can't insulate food, they're not saying that on a biblical level insulating food on Shabbos is they're saying it's derabanan, right? And it's a decree.
What's a decree?
Edict, rabbinic law.
Okay.
I mean, not an interpretation of a biblical law. It's a rabbinic institution.
How do you mean by rabbinic law?
It's a law that the rabbis instituted that is not understanding the Torah. It's adding to it.
So they're
which is takana de rabbanan.
Yeah,
so they're saying that they're interpreting
what they're saying with the rabbinic law.
So I'm saying, just like you can have bishul, just like you'd have cooking on Shabbos that's biblical and cooking that's derabbanan, you could have lifnever which is biblical and lifnever which is derabbanan.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that. Why is that a problem?
Yeah.
Right? We do that all the time. Right? There are things which are not kosher d'araisa. There are things which are not kosher d'rabbanan. Right? Meat d'araisa, you violate basar b'chalav only if you cook meat and milk together. Right? A cheeseburger that's cooked together.
Right?
If it's not...
Different ways of interpreting.
No, not in... No, they're not interpreting. It's not interpreting. Right? Interpretation is biblical. Right? Because you're interpreting the basar. This is not interpretation. This is decrees. Right? There's a rabbinic layer. Right, not rabbinic interpretation. Rabbinic interpretation would be biblical. Right? Like everything we saw 3 days ago, that's not derabbanan, that's d'araisa. That's rabbinic interpretation of a pasuk. It's a biblical law. A rabbinic decree is not interpretation.
The whole thing, we said that the whole thing is you're chayiv lifnei iver if you are obligated in the sin that he did.
Correct.
That doesn't interpret derabbanan or d'araisa.
So that's what I'm saying. But if what they did is only derabbanan, and you partake of their iser, at best, your prohibition is only rabbanan.
But we didn't say that there.
That's what I did just say. I said it's a rabbinic prohibition.
That lifnei iver is derabbanan.
No, I did not say lifnei iver is derabbanan. I said lifnei iver, when the sin I cause somebody to violate
right.
is itself rabbinic, would only be rabbinic.
If lifnei iver is based off of what you got them to do.
Right.
And what I got them
to
do
was a rabbinic prohibition.
Then what I did was
that case.
So it's not that you're over lifnei iver no matter what you got them to do. It depends on what you got to do. You're over either derech.
If you think that lifnei iver is partaking in the iser, if you think that lifnei iver is generic, so then I can violate a biblical lifnei iver even if what I did to him was make him violate a derabbanan law.
Right.
Because it's standalone. It doesn't depend on what I did. It's no worse than bad advice.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Then if lifnei iver is its own rule, then conversation doesn't exist.
Right, and this is, if you look at number four, so if you look at source number four here, Chebra, this is what the Achiezer is of Chaim Ozer Grudensky, and he says exactly this point. He says, "V'yesh l'hayer beribis derabanan." If you're talking about what's ribis?
Interest,
right? Derabanan interest, right? There's biblical interest and the rabbinic interest. Right, shut is Rashi Teva for sheilot or chuvot. Sheilav et chuvah, meaning response to literature.
Right.
Right? So in the shut Pnei Yoshua, it says that if I enable someone to violate a derabanan law of ribis, I violate lifnei iver on a biblical level. Dilogara mi may see lo eitzah sheino get it. What's his proof? It's no worse than bad advice.
But you also violate the rabbinical law.
No, you violate biblical law. Because he thinks it's an Isser Klali. He thinks that lifnei iver is don't cause someone to have a michshol, and therefore it doesn't matter. Even if the michshol was rabbanan, what you did was biblical,
yeah.
Right? But if you said the other way, if you said the lifnei iver is partaking of the prohibition,
yeah.
So then at best it could be derabbanan.
Yeah. Once again, michshol,
the stumbling block, Okay. Now, at the end here, what I gave you was a bunch of Yad Malachis. The Yad Malachi goes through many of these. Right, so in number five, again, we've talked about these in general, but in number five, the Yad Malachi gets into the question of whether you violate Lifnei Iver if the guy doesn't sin in the end. Then he gets into the Rabbanan question. One more question he deals with is whether it's considered a lav sheyesh bo maaseh or lav sheein bo maaseh, but we'll leave that for now. Okay, the last thing I want to deal with is as follows. We'd already skipped to this, right? I mean, that is that this question at some level comes down to how do you understand the relationship between level 3 and level 4. Right? If you think that level 3 and level 4 have to be equivalent, meaning bad advice lifnei iver and iser lifnei iver are basically the same thing, then you're forced to say that lifnei iver is an iser klali.
What does that mean?
Right, is a general prohibition of putting a mukshal because bad advice, you're not partaking of any sin, you're just giving bad advice.
Right.
But if you're going to say that lifnei iver splits, that's because you think there's fundamentally two types of lifnei iver.
Yeah.
Right? The way the Achronim, and if you want to read this inside in the Achiezer, you can in 11. I gave it to you.
What do you mean by two parts of the lifnei?
So what do they mean? So here's how many of the Achronim formulated. If you want to say that level 3 and level 4 are not related,
right.
So then what you need to say is that you can't just say they're not related and leave it there, right? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You have to say, okay, they're not related. Why are they not related? Right? They're not related, presumably, because they reflect fundamentally different understandings of lifnei iver. What could those be? So there's many ways you could take it, but I gave you one from the Achiezer. And he says as follows. If I asked you, is lifnei iver an avera ben adam lamakom or ben adam lachavero? Is it an interpersonal violation or a violation between you and God? Right, which is it? What would you say?
Wait, can you repeat the question?
Why is lifnei iver wrong? Because I'm hurting my friend, or is it a problem between me and God?
That's what you do.
So. Yes, spell it out.
Bad advice is between you and a friend, however, an Easter is between you and God.
So that's how the Achiezer wants to understand it. He says, according to the people, and if you say that all lifnei iver is equivalent, level 3 and level 4 are the same,
then
it must be that all of the lifnei iver is fundamentally what? Mitzvah ben Adam la Chaveiro. Don't give somebody bad advice. Don't make them sin. Don't make things hard for them, spiritually, physically, spiritually.
The other side.
But if you want to say they're fundamentally different, in what way are they different? So the Achiezer suggests maybe when I give somebody bad advice, that's an avera ben adam l'chavero. But when I cause the person to sin,
it's also
ben adam lamakom, right? Because right, really, it's not just that I hurt my friend. I hurt God because I did something against God, so to speak.
Right.
So now the Achronim ask the following. If that's the case, right? If that's the case, should you violate lifnei iver do you violate lifnei iver if you make a non-Jew sin? What would you say?
What sin exactly is?
I mean, does lifnei iver apply if against a non-Jew?
So you make him do a sin that he would be over.
That he would violate. That you also would violate. You make him steal.
So one of the shekels is banana.
So what do you think? Is it usher?
Yes.
Good. It's usher. Prove it to me.
This is
easy. Prove
if
it to me.
Chavera,
no, not svara. Prove it to me. I don't want to svara.
What's usher?
Prove that lifnei iver is usher for a Jew against a non-Jew. Prove it. 100%. Me'achuz.
Because didn't we do in the very beginning, you shouldn't, when we first started this, there was also a problem with different things.
Don't make someone sin.
Yeah.
No, prove it.
But you want like a source.
Yeah, I want a source.
Oh, it's in the chart.
No, it's not in the chart.
What do you mean?
It's in the Gemara.
Oh, yeah, if you do lifnei iver, you're over the Yisrael of iver.
What were the two examples of the Gemara? And the? Aver menachai lifnei noach.
What? What do you mean?
A limb of a living animal to a guy.
Second line.
That was literally the second line in the Gemara. Right? Okay. That was the Gemara.
You mean,
right?
But,
so azoy pashut.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. The living animal. So azoy pashut. Right? It is obvious. It is a literal Gemara. It is
definitely
it's an often a Gemara. So now, look at number 8.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 8, mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Rambam says the same thing. We have a problem. This is the Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah lif neighbor. Okay. Shimon, read it. Okay, what's the problem?
Put something in the way that you shouldn't stumble like another Jew.
Yeah.
The way that he's going.
What's the problem?
We just have a case of a non-Jew.
He seems to make it sound like it's only between
Jews,
right? And the Minchas Chinuch goes crazy, right? If you continue in the Sefer Chinuch, he says, "Bamesh Namin Lo Shiyosher Ve'Itzav Etova." Right? The Jew believes you that it's good advice. Shneimar V'Fnei Ver L'Tzinim Mechshol. And the Minchas Chinuch in 9 says. Kavanas.
Kavanas.
Harav HaMechaber.
Harav HaMechaber.
Meaning the author.
Shekasav
B'nei Yisrael. But I don't know what the Sefer HaChinuch means. Do you only
buy? Oh, yeah. So what about the
Gavonas Kavanas? Halav Right? And the Minchas Chinuch says, he said, what is this?
No, so what are you saying, a Jew?
Yeah, the Minchas Chinuch said, what are you talking about? How can you tell me that Lif Neiver is only against a Jew? It's a Gemara. The Gemara. You can't make a non-Jew sin. And he says, it's not just, it's a Gemara. Because, you know, like Shimon before was saying, oh, it's Machlokas, the Gemara, and the Achronim. Right? Minchas Chinuch said, not only is it an open Gemara, The Sefer HaChinuch, 3 lines later, quotes the Gemara, right? It's not even just Machlokes Chinuch against the Gemara, right? It's a Machlokes line 1 versus line 3, right? So how would you answer it? So how would you defend the Chinuch?
What we said in the beginning?
Yeah, which is?
Giving a limb to a boy, you're not allowed to be. It's that story to give the lip to a boy as well as like.
Yeah, okay, so how does the Chinuch say that listen to Eber is only for Jews? He says it. How?
Well, am I supposed to defend him or am I supposed to defend the.
Yeah, how do you defend the Chinuch?
He's wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
Maybe he holds the.
He himself quotes the Gemara line later.
Is the Isser different? The Isser. Oh, well, yeah, okay, so.
Be careful, what did the Chinuch say? Right? And this is. So
that it's only applicable to Jews.
What's only applicable to Jews?
Lifnei Iver.
What Lifnei Iver?
Actually, physically placing a stump on the stump.
No!
Well,
it's a ra'a.
A bad thing.
Bad advice.
Bad advice.
Level
right.
3.
Bad advice. Bad advice counts with Jews and Jews, but not with
so. So what many of the late achronim say is,
oh,
wait a second.
You can give a guy bad advice. You can tell a guy to sell him your field when the market.
Exactly bad. Right. There's they say lifnei iver, which has been adam lechaveiro.
That you don't have. That's not a problem with the guy. But once, who cares?
Why you didn't know he was the good?
You could argue on this also, but to defend the Chinuch, they say maybe what he's saying is, look, giving bad advice is mitzvah ben on the chavero. That only applies to Jews. But causing a non-Jew to sin, the crime isn't between you and the non-Jew, it's between you and God. So when the Gemara says, beferush, you violate this neighbor against a non-Jew, that's level 4. That's Yisur, because that's been Adam Lamakam. It's been you and God. But if it's...
If you commit the sin.
What?
If you commit the sin.
No, you're committing a sin by having the good commit a sin.
Yeah.
Ah, I thought they did.
Correct. Now, so that's how the Achronim try to defend the Chinuch, which is to say that the Chinuch must hold at level 3 and level 4 are radically different. Level 3 is a mitzvah ben adam lechaveiro. Level 4 is a mitzvah ben adam lamakom. So the one between you and God applies to Jews and non-Jews alike. The one that's between people, maybe it doesn't. Now, I'll just add that doesn't mean you should go around tricking non-Jews. It's not a good idea. Because it's not a good idea. So a few reasons. One is that the Meiri says, it's beferish in the Gemara that if something is not kosher for non-Jews, it's Eiver Menachai, you can't give it to them. That's Lifnei Iver. But then he says, what if... it's something that they don't eat by convention. Right? Meaning it's not usur from our Torah, but the non-Jews don't eat it. Right? Their rules, their conventions tell them not to eat it.
Like convincing a Muslim to eat
food. Or whatever it is. Yeah, whatever it is. Right? But you feed that to a non-Jew. So the Meiri says,
well, like your case, when he told us in the very beginning.
Fine. So what do you have to do? So he says, so look two lines from the bottom of the Meiri number 10. He says, V'chein masha asur mitoras nimuseihem. Something is forbidden to them because of their conventions, their laws, not because of the Torah. Mochrin lohen, you're allowed to sell it to them. Right? Meaning, you can, if a non-Jew wants to violate his own mitzvot, you can do that. Because that's no problem. Ubilvad behoda alahem. But you can't trick them. But not because of neiver, of a low betos, right? Not by mistake, you go nevelav cheska shchuta. You can't sell him meat as if it was shechted and if it isn't. No davar asur lehem cheska davar mutar lehem, or something that's forbidden to them by pretending it's mutter. Shrei asur lignov datan shal brias vafilu daitel shal goy. Said not so fast.
It's asur.
It is asur. Correct. He says. Not so fast. It may not be lifnei iver, but it's still usur, right? So
it,
because of gneivas das, which is sugyan chulin, right? That in addition, there's an isur of gneivas das, of tricking people. But still, the way the Acharon wanted to defend the chinuch is to say maybe the way to defend it is to say this question we've said isur klali versus isur prati, right? Also tells you that level 3 and level 4 of lifnei iver, eitzara'a, is a general prohibition of not putting a mikshal, which is mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, and only applies to Jews. And level 4 is a mitzvah prati, where I partake of the isur, and that is whether it's Jew or non-Jew, because now it's between me and God. And so that's how the Achronim try to defend the position of the chinuch, which at first glance seems to go against the Gemara. So what we have is that we've seen these two different ways of conceiving of lifnei iver, of prohibitions, either as a generic prohibition of putting a michshol, or as a local prohibition because you partake of the isser. We saw several potential nafkaminas. Do you violate lifnei iver if the guy never sins? Do you violate lifnei iver? Is lifnei iver yihar gvel yavor if the sin being committed is yihar gvel yavor? If you encourage someone to violate Shabbos, do you yourself become a mumer chalal Shabbos? If you cause someone to violate a rabbinic law, do you violate lifnei iver at a rabbinic level or at a biblical level? Then we said that this question really depends on how you connect level 3 and level 4, because eitz hara'a, right, the bad advice one clearly seems to be a generic prohibition because you're not partaking of anything. So if you think that all levels of lifnei iver have to be similar, so then it has to be that lifnei iver is an isur klali, right? Don't put a michshol in front of somebody. If you think that they're disconnected, so then maybe you could defend it. And we also said that this may also explain, it may be that the bad advice when a mitzvah ben on l'chavero and the sin one is mitzvah ben on l'makom, which is what the Achiezer suggests, and maybe that explains the chinuch, who seems to say that lifnei iver only applies to Jews, but then a line later he quotes the Gemara that applies to non-Jews. But if you're medayek, he says that the only lifnei iver of bad advice applies only to Jews, but lifnei iver surin clearly applies even to non-Jews, but it still could be usur, even if it's not lifnei iver. What the Meiri points out, it still might be gneivas das. There are plenty other nafkaminas. For example, are goyim obligated? Right. So far, we talked about whether you versus a goy. But what about a goy? Is a goy allowed to be machshil another goy in a sin?
Why do we care?
Can we say?
What do you mean? Is it one? Is it considered one of the Sheva Mitzvos?
Can we say non-Jew instead of goy?
Well, depends. If you think that it's a standalone, it would be Issa number 8. But if you think lifnei iver is a subset of each isser, then maybe yes, because he can encourage people to violate his averot.
It's a subset of, okay, fine, yeah, that makes sense.
Correct, so that's another nafkamina that people bring up.
My appeals is working for these cases, isn't it?
It could be, right? I mean, that's what I'm saying, it's always enough. It is also possible, remember I mentioned this yesterday, that lifnei iver doesn't only appear on the pasuk of lifnei iver, it also appears as an arur. Right, arur mashgei ver baderech. Right, you're cursed. The Malbim there has an interesting argument, which is that anything that the Torah says arur by, cursed, even non-Jews are obligated in, even if they're not the Sheva Mitzvot. Seemingly because if God says you're cursed, it's not just a regular Isser, it's like an immoral thing. It's like a fundamental... So it could be that non-Jews are obligated, not technically as one of the Sheva Mitzvot, but because it's just a bad thing to do. And at some level, non-Jews are also obligated in sort of universal ethics, but that's really a discussion for another time.